Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
What's good, everybody? This is a new episode of the greatest podcast in the world, the All Dickish. What is it? Oh yeah,
fight us.
You hear that, John Favreau? I'm kidding. I'm a huge fan. But Ira Madison, no, I'm kidding. Also, huge fan. Michelle Buteau, fucking no, I'm kidding.
No.
Huge fans of all of you.
I take it all back.
I feel like I can get some licks in on all of them. But anyway, Welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast, the podcast about sex, relationships, the patriarchy, and all things in between. We don't have a Patreon yet, but I will always accept money.
Hit that cash app.
Well, I'm in the studio with AKA East LA's biggest chola.
I'm mommy. Racista.
I'm also wearing a Selena sweater.
Yeah, she's always wearing a Selena sweater. Honestly, so you know how Bloods and Crips will always wear like blue or red? Candy was always in Selena gear all the time. She reps her set heavy for the Chicanas out there. The Chicanex.
When you're a white Latina, you have to try so much harder for
people to notice. Barely. Stop it. Stop. You are not nobody's white Latina.
You
are not. What is it? But you do have a huge hoop earring that says "spig" in it, and I'm so upset right now that you're just. I'm kidding. She doesn't.
I did have some hoop earrings that said "sugar mother," but I'm sorry. I'll stop.
You know what's beautiful about being an Afro Latina that I really just started to embrace is that I really will choose when I'm black and when I'm Latina. So like a lot of people will be like, oh, you're Latino. It's like, no, excuse me, I'm black. Like, I'm both. But then a lot of old black people are voting for Joe Biden, but a lot of Latinos are voting for Bernie. And I'm like, I'm Latina 100%, honey.
Oh my God. I tried doing that with Mexican and Salvadorians, but like, no one gives a shit about either of us.
Pupusas or tortillas, bitch. Choose.
You wanna jump the wall from El Salvador to Mexico or Mexico to the U.S.? Let's get political, bitch.
Yes. No one wants you.
I always take it too far.
You know what? And that's okay. Because here at the All Dick is Trash, it's a matriarchy. And the matriarchy is about boundaries. DJ. So to get us started, we're going to do a Trash Dick of the Week. And Trash Dick of the Week, some of you, I've gotten a lot. First of all, thank you also for listening. These are the first episodes we're recording since we launched. And I'm so excited. And thanks for all the great feedback. And for all the bad feedback, I say fuck you. I'm kidding.
We're working
Come fight
on
me.
It.
We're working on it, bitch.
Fight me.
Why you want to oppress two Latinas? So anyway, Trash Dick of the Week, Candy. And I feel like people are going to start getting worried, and you should be. But the Trash Dick of the Week goes to my neighbors. Wah, wah, wah.
I've been knowing that shit.
My neighbors fucking suck. I share a wall with this gay couple. And it used to be this one guy. He had a boyfriend, and the boyfriend moved out, and then he got a new boyfriend. And the new boyfriend's this ratchet-ass Latino guy. Ooh. And they... just the fucking trifecta. First of all, the original resident wants to be on Broadway. He's a belter. He just sings all day. And then for some audition, you know, he uses the apartment like a rehearsal space. So it's all day. Last night I was watching TV, and at 10:30 at night, he started fucking belting shit. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And then 11 and whatever. So that's not, you know, and then it's not enough that he belts Broadway. He also, starts tap dancing. He picked up tap dancing. So
are they the same ones that like were major drug users?
No, that girl died. that girl did OD and die. I mean, they probably do drugs, but they I know this building, I really need to move. They smoke weed every day though, like every day, and you can hear because they're just like coughing.
They're
not even good, and they just cough all fucking day. And then this is the crazy part. All of that is fine, but then they started having these fights. These crazy, crazy fights that are honestly triggering from my childhood of like these crazy blowout fights. They sound like they're about to get violent. And then it's like, I'll be watching something and they're so loud and I can hear it so clearly that I just pause what I'm watching. I'm like, okay, what the fuck's happening now? Okay. So one of them, and I'm telling you all their business because I know all their business because they won't shut the fuck up. And I'm putting it out on a podcast. One of them went on Valentine's Day. Fighting. Because they took too long to get ready and they couldn't go out. It's like, I don't even want to go out anymore. Then another one's like, I saw your phone. I saw what you had in your phone. And then the other one's, it's honestly like a gay drama podcast, like audio play that I'm hearing.
They have like underground tapes of this old couple that used to fight that got passed around the 80s and 90s that are exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Like, so I'm sure I could probably record it, and then like it'll be probably a lot more interesting because you went through my phone. You were looking for shit. It's like, I don't need attention from another man like you do and all this stuff. And then these blowout fights was like, you need to get out of this house. No, you need to move out. It's like, I'm not moving. Like, terrible, terrible toxic shit. And then literally like not even the next day, they're like they'll be like trying to fuck in the living room, and he's like, I'm hard, why are you doing? And then they start fighting again because it's like, I was just like, I want to die. So they suck. And you know what, it's like, okay, I get it, everyone has tough moments and they're obviously going through a lot, but it's just like the idea of not being considerate of your neighbors, knowing that your neighbors can hear you, not giving a fuck, is just so rude. It's so disrespectful, and it's truly trash behavior. So that's why, on top of my landlord, these guys get Trash Dick of the Week.
You're trash.
You're trash. So now it's time for a Trash Dick confession.
Ooh. Ooh, that I'm not reading anymore, so no one can accuse it of me.
Yeah, every if you listen to the real fans,
the last one was actually me. So no, it's awkward.
To the real fans, I yeah, to the real fans, every single trash disc confection was candy.
No, one day people? I'll tell you all my trash. The once I'm married, so my boyfriend can't leave me.
Yeah, no. So we were about to record, and I posted on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and I said, DM me your trash disc confessions, and I got this from this person, and she's, you know, a really nice woman, and she said, a dude asked me what my favorite position was, and I said, your head between my thighs, and he said, no, like sex position, and then he didn't go down on me. He came. I did not. He tried to hang out again. I did not. Yeah. What's the verdict of that?
He's very trash.
Yeah, very definitely direct, trash.
But like also just not a good listener. Like I'm super, I don't, how does he not, did he thought they were going to wrestle? Like did someone teach him how to wrestle that way? I'm so confused.
I think maybe he learned, like, his definition of sex are things that only feel good for him, and only things that will pleasure him, and if it pleasures someone else, it's not sex.
Then it's a sin.
Yeah, then it's a sin and it's sinful. So probably in, you know, probably in his definite, you know, and probably the broader definition, he might be a virgin because he's never had he's never done anything sexual that will pleasure anyone else.
And then she gave him the sweetest over the pants HJ he's ever had. Oh my
God. Over the pants HJ. Kill me. Fucking kill
OPHJs
me.
All day.
OPHJ. Yeah, no, of course. And then of course he's like, well, that was great. Let's do it again. Let's do it. They're always like that. And it's just like, wow. And it's like, no, not like me eating you out, like actually sex. Like, what a piece of shit. And it doesn't matter because you didn't even come. Trash. Well, that's just, you know, all dick is trash. What can we say? But you know who's not trash, Candy?
Ooh, do tell.
Our guest today, Elise Morales. I'm so excited to have her. She is so funny. We used to be, do you know how me and Elise like started working together?
No.
We were in, get this, we were in an interactive play about the Chilean mine collapse.
This was her?
Yeah, we were in, it was Deep Down, Dark Down Deep. And it was a comedic play. Where it was immersive, where all, the entire audience got hard hats, and we were like all miners, and you know, yeah, then they got to explore, and Elise did like a hacky stand-up thing, and I was the virgin. And I was a virgin in the mine, and I was like, I can't leave here without losing my virginity. Like, I can't die a virgin. It was great. So yeah, that's how me and Elise, and you know, she's really killing it. Yeah. She has her roast of teenage self. You're going to hear all about her and this thing. But yeah, anything else about anything that we brought up? Any trash dick things in your life, Candy? What's going on with you?
Just people who don't wash their hands. Yo, yeah. There's so many nasty people in the world. Like, you just, like, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, wash those hands. Mm-hmm. Don't spit on me. Don't share my shit. Mm. Although me and Millie shared a super.
Yeah, day. I definitely gave coronavirus. And then Candy was like, because I coughed a little bit at the restaurant. And Candy was like, ew, you have coronavirus. And I'm like, look, I only just made out with 4 Italian guys when I was in Europe. That does not mean I have coronavirus. Can I tell you, though? This isn't trash dick per se, but I like to, you know, I'm going to go there. I like to hook up with people when I go out of town, you know, even just kissing or like having sex. Like, it's my little souvenir for myself.
Yeah. Just like all the chlamydia you brought back.
Hey, so I was at this like club thing. No, I feel like this is a trash dick story.
Oh my God. Are you the trash? Is that why you're not sharing it?
No. I'll share it on the next episode, actually. So you got to tune in to the next episode because I'll share this story because it's really good. Okay. But yeah. We have our guest today, which is none other than Cuban Pete, Elise Morales. AKA Elise Navidad on Twitter and at Pandalise at Instagram, at IG. So let's just go through your credentials.
Yes.
Okay. We got
DJ.
Back. Okay. We got originally from Glendale, moved to North Virginia when she was 12 and attended the University of Delaware.
Blue Hens, baby.
Missed your graduation to move to New York. Was a theater kid in high school because, of course, started improv with the group The Rubber Chickens in college.
Mm-hmm, classic.
Currently the writer of the Betches Sup newsletter and co-host of the Betches Sup podcast. Written for Flex Magazine, Reductress, Above Average, Pure Wow, Betches, and more. Creator of the Roast of Your Teenage Self. Because it's no longer 15. Mm-hmm,
just changed.
Has appeared in Hulu's Difficult People. I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. Late Night with Seth Meyers and The Chris Gethard Show. Is the voice for Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez on Showtime's Art Cartoon President. And probably tuning out the news.
Yes, which is coming out on CBS All Access.
Yes. And you performed stand-up at PotterCon.
I did.
And you're self-described a serial monogamous.
That is true. And that's
your greatest credit.
My biggest credit of all. Locking in those relationships, baby.
So yeah, that's your background. Anything else to add?
Honestly,
I thank Candy Harrow for that intense.
Honestly, I feel like you got everything in there. Even PotterCon, which RIP, shut down by Warner Brothers.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. It was cease and desist.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing is that Warner Brothers needs more money. And yeah, no, they do they not do. Have enough.
Yeah.
And if you do anything, if you make money on anything that they could have been making money on, that's actually wrong to them. Yeah. And that is hurtful to them as a giant, company.
Where was it?
It toured around. The most fun ones were in New York.
Of course.
But it toured around for a while, and it was honestly so fun, but...
Yeah, because you're... Okay, you are a Harry Potter...
I am.
Fan.
A Harry Potter adult. Yeah.
A Harry Potter adult.
One of the most maligned groups on social media. I can't live my damn life.
I feel like Disney adults are... Because, like, I feel like Disney adults are really shamed, mm-hmm. but Harry Potter adults, I'm kind of... I'm definitely, like, neutral. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Harry Potter adult, but I'm not a Harry Potter adult. I do think...
Yeah, it's been a tough time for us. I do feel like I really dodged a bullet by not getting a Harry Potter tattoo in my life. Because there was a period of time
where... were going to.
Oh, I absolutely considered it. I wanted to get a golden snitch on my ankle, but then I was too poor. And then, like, the backlash came, and I was like, oh, thank God. Now I can just, like, silently live my Harry Potter life.
And get kicked out of... That's my favorite story.
I did go to see Cursed Child, which I got free tickets to because it's like $1,000 to see it. So I like to make sure everyone knows that I'm not wealthy. I was given free tickets to see this show. And I had my marijuana confiscated while going in, which I didn't think was possible. Brought marijuana to many Broadway shows before. Usually they just look in your bag to make sure you don't have a gun. And then this guy going full opening all my little pockets, and then he finds a nugget of weed and he holds it up, and I'm like, there's a baby dressed as an owl sitting next to me. I'm like, are we doing this?
That guy's a fucking narc.
Yeah, I'm like, I hope you're happy. There's a 3-hour intermission in this shit. I'm not allowed to have a nugget of weed.
He threw it away too, right?
He threw it in the trash. I was like, you don't even have the decency to take it for yourself.
He's going to get it later.
Yeah, I'm sure that as soon as I walked away, he was like, whoop, and just slipped that in his pocket, which I hope he did, because it's really sad to see a beautiful nugget of weed go to waste in that way.
At Harry Potter. I mean, listen, there are some people who should be able to do drugs, right? People are like, I can't believe Justin Bieber is doing coke or Bruno Mars. I don't want to live in a world where Justin Bieber or Bruno Mars can't do coke.
I agree 100%.
And then also... I don't want to live in a world where somebody can't go to see Harry Potter and then do and then smoke some weed and go back.
So I know. During the intermission, because I did the one where you see it like both in a row.
Yeah.
I'm just wandering the streets of Times Square. Nothing to do.
Crazy. Because hi.
Have to eat a $100 meal and just kind of stand around.
Hi, Times Square can be at least a little funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Then I could have gone into the M&M store and been like.
Honestly, M&M store, right? Okay. New York City, most visited city in the country. Mm-hmm. This is my tour guide stuff. Mm-hmm. M&M store. So New York, busiest city in America, most tourists in America. M&M store, most visited place in New York City. M&M store is the most popular tourist destination of America.
Wow. Speaking of, they're opening a Harry Potter store in Times Square.
Oh, God.
Some sort of themed store, which I will go to.
You will go.
At some point.
Okay, because I feel like, okay, I'm not a Harry Potter adult at all, but so how do you feel about read the statements online, read any other book? When people tell the Harry Potter adults, like, please read another book.
Number one, I have, and I didn't like them as much. I have read another book. I actually read a lot of other books. I did a big scan of books, and I like this one. Number two, I'm sorry for having a connection to the most iconic children's series of our lifetime. Fuck me, I guess, for enjoying something from my childhood. What a dumb I am for taking comfort.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
No, I'm on my soapbox screaming about Harry Potter.
Yo, like the look. I can't wait for us to get a GoPro so that you can see the look that Elise's face. She was so furious. Furious. She was going to speak to the manager of the world.
The amount of neck and bobbin was insane.
The Cuban only comes out of Elise when she talks about Harry Potter.
Yes. Yes, I went full Barb on the most recent episode of The Bachelor. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I know what a Barb is.
Barb. Pete's,
oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Pilot Pete's Cuban like mom. Minna.
Oh, he's Cuban.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
He's
I gotta
exactly
watch.
The amount of Cuban that I am, so I felt represented in that. He clearly doesn't speak Spanish, but he stirred Ropa Vieja for like 1 second in one episode and was like, "I'm Cuban."
Oh my fucking God.
And I was like, "That represents me." but his Cuban mom was on the finale.
Oh, so that makes sense why she was crying.
And does not like the girl he picked. She prefers the other
Madison.
Girl. He picks Madison, but
one that she was like,
Cuban mom prefers Hannah Ann.
But Madison was the one that's like, you can't fuck anyone else.
Yeah.
Honestly, okay, I don't want to live in a world where you're humiliating yourself for like 3 months on TV and you can't fuck people in the fantasy suites.
I know. There's like a phenomenon with The Bachelor where like one person is saying something that's actually reasonable in the world of real dating, but completely unreasonable in the world of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Of course he gets to fuck the other girls at fantasy suites.
Yeah,
of course he does. That's the point.
Yeah. Do you know what fantasy suites are?
No.
So basically the Bachelor is like probably start out with like 20 or 30 women, and then every week he eliminates and they'll go on like 2-on-1 dates, 1-on-1, whatever, and then the top three, they basically go on a vacation together, and then usually each, like, basically they have their own separate room, each girl, so then night one he'll spend the whole day and night with one girl, and then night two will spend the whole day and night, so then basically but yeah, that's basically where all the fucking happens, like, they don't say,
and it is like semi-explicitly talked about.
Yeah, that like they don't say we fucked, suite. But like it's like, oh, last night was so.
I've seen Love Island where they have like the night cameras, and then you're just like everyone's fucking now.
So no, you don't. It's not as sleazy as that. Like they'll usually do like at the end, they're like, he's like, "Will you spend the night with me?" And she's like, "Yes." And then they do like an artful them sitting on the bed and kissing, and then like the door closes.
The door closes, yeah. So
and it'll be a plot point. Like there was one girl, Raven, who famously said that she had never had an orgasm. And then after Fantasy Suites, they did a whole montage of her like walking in front of like geysers and stuff and being like, "I had an orgasm."
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And then when Colton was a virgin, the virgin bachelor, it was like, "Will he fuck on Fantasy Suites?" And
did he?
He said no.
Okay.
And then this one, she was like, she was the last one to go on the fantasy suite. And she was like, by the way, if you fucked anyone in fantasy suites, I would be mad. And he was like, well, I already did.
Yeah.
And my whole whole reason for becoming the bachelor is that I had sex with the previous bachelorette in a windmill four times. That was his claim to fame. So it's
yeah,
like,
he did. Because she's like, I fucked four times and Jesus still loves me.
Yeah.
Because another guy was like, you can't fuck anyone else or I'm not going to. And then she's like, well, I did fuck someone else. I fucked someone four times in a windmill.
Yeah. And she sent his ass home, which is right. But Peter couldn't deal with that. And his mom did not like that. She was like, Peter needs to be able to do whatever he's gonna do.
Yeah, well, to a fault, Cuban and all Latina moms will fucking like be like, look, I know my son cheats on everyone and is terrible to women, mm-hmm. but that's my baby.
Yeah, that was basically it. She was like, well, Peter's lifestyle, he's partying. And like she was like, you gotta let him party.
Yeah.
And then she was really mad that they showed up late, which to meet them, which I'm like, I think that's a production issue, not Madison's fault. But she was like going in on Peter's new girl and they were fighting on TV. And she was like, you were late and rude and all this stuff. And I was like, this is the most Cuban thing I've seen on
television. When did she cry? I saw her crying, but I don't know why.
She cried a lot. Starting
the mom
from
or the,
oh the mom
the mom
the mom also cried a lot. She cried just kind of I guess just from beginning to end of her appearances. Now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, what's the entire reason did she cry? And I was like, no, she was crying actually the entire time.
I guess like Betches, you have to watch The Bachelor to work.
I started watching because of Betches, and then now I'm like in the universe of it.
You know what? For me, because I watched with Rachel Lindsay, and honestly, when you watch a thing, like when you start with the season from the beginning, I'm like, I get it.
Yes,
I get why people do the fantasy like leagues. Mm-hmm. I get how like people get into the fandom, but like. I just can't do just like honestly when so then when they chose the next bachelor and he was a white guy and then everyone was and then just started being white all over again or like you know white passing like it was just hard for me because I'm like they all look the same blah 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 like can we get a Latina or an Asian girl or something you know and then, then it just like kind of like took it out for me.
They tried to be diverse for like 1 second and then with Rachel Lindsay's season and then backtracked it on and like in an insane way. Fun fact about Rachel Lindsay. Uh-huh. So on the season that she was on before of The Bachelor with Nick Vial, where she was chosen, she made it to Fantasy Suites. And Rachel Lindsay and Nick Vial did not fuck on Fantasy Suites because her Fantasy Suite was filmed the day Trump was elected. Ooh. And she got really drunk and went to sleep. Because Rachel Lindsay was like, no, what the hell?
Yeah, that's like, tough.
I know.
Aren't they making like a retirement home bachelor?
They are making an old person bachelor and they are making one about
a 38-year-old woman.
So the next bachelorette is 38, but that is separate from the one that's actually like baby boomer bachelorette.
Which I feel like I would be really interested
I'm interested in that. And then there is another new show where it's The Bachelor, but everyone's a musician. And they also have to
play music
together.
No.
And in the preview, one of the guys is like, it's a real life A Star Is Born. And I'm like, have you seen the end of A Star Is Born? Yeah, my dude, I don't think like the takeaway from that is like, this is a healthy relationship that we want to have.
Yeah, I know. Jesus.
Like, I think you're confused.
I can't wait to meet the love of my life so I can piss on stage while she gets the Oscar.
Yeah.
Or something. So I went to Hawaii last year and I was watching TV. So I stayed with my friend's parents and I watched Japanese TV with them. Mm-hmm. They're like, they get the special cable that they can get channels from Japan. And there was a dating show that had a single mom and her daughter or single mom and two daughters. And it was, but she was like an older single. She was like in her 40s or maybe even early 50s. Mm-hmm. And her daughter was a teenager. And basically like it was a dating show between two guys or they had all these applicants. It was a local TV station too. So it was really cool. It was like a local TV station, like people in her town. And then, so then it was like two guys and then it's like one guy in his fifties who was just like never got married and another guy who's like recently divorced or his wife died and has another daughter. And then you see them go on dates and stuff. And like, it was really cool to see. It wasn't like about And then it was another thing. It was like, it wasn't even about like who she had the connection more, because she had the connection more with this one guy. But the other guy with the daughter, like their daughters got along. And she's like, I always wanted a sister and all this stuff. And like this, the daughters were acting up when she went on the date with the other guy. And like, so she, that like affected the choice too. And I'm like, see, this is interesting. Yeah. And like this, is, and you know, the dates were like kind of like group family dates too. Like yeah. One guy took the daughters to the carnival and the other guy, they had like a romantic dinner, you know?
So I'm like, also, damn. I do find it more interesting when it's like, no, this is a real person who's trying to incorporate this person into real life. Not like an aspiring influencer who kind of will do whatever. Like, even with Love is Blind, which I did watch religiously.
Yeah, I did. But I watched Married at First Sight and it's just so much better, but I'll tell
you. But so Love is Blind, it's like, all of the contestants are hot.
Yeah.
Like, put some real fucking people in there and let's do a real experiment. You know what I mean? Like, put some, like, not traditionally extremely hot people in there and actually do this for real.
To see if Love is Blind. Yeah, and I think, too, you know, Love is Blind is strange. But what I like about Married at First Sight first is that they meet each other at the altar, and then it follows them 2 months after, like, 2 months into it, and then... They're expertly matched. Mm-hmm. So, like, you see, like, these, like, you know, these psychologists, therapists, whatever, will match these people on things that they say. Like, they're like, oh, I care about this. I care about that. And then when you see it you're, like, seeing it all unfold. And you see in reality that, like, oh, you're not as, like, open-minded and flexible as you think you are. Or, like, oh, you want to incorporate, you say that you're ready for marriage, but marriage means you can't go out every night with your boys.
Yeah.
Like, you stay home and you enjoy your, you know, your wife. So, and then like, it just also, so you like see the self-sabotage unfold in a different way, you know, and then you see them like too. So then last night on Married at First Sight, there's like this one guy, I know, and then we'll get into the questions.
No, you're good.
Last night, sorry, let me get.
I'm more interested in the assets, so like, I'll ask you that later.
But last night at Married, so that basically you get married. Like, your family meets each other, whatever, you have a wedding, they send you on a honeymoon for a week. That's when a lot of the couples like will actually fuck after a week. And then like this problem, and they're literally in a honeymoon phase. Then they move in, they have to move into a neutral apartment. Mm-hmm. And then they have all these challenges or whatever. So one guy is like immediately off the bat was like, oh, I'm not attracted to her. I'm not attracted to her. I don't know what to do. Blah, blah, blah. And he keeps putting up this wall, whatever. And then she moves into the apartment by herself. He's like, I'm not ready to move in with you. And blah, blah. And she's like, so do you want to end this? Because, like, you're wasting my time. But he's like, no, we're getting there. And he's like kind of, like, dangling false hope. And then last night you find out that he met her friend at the wedding and has been secretly texting her friend, her really good friend. And then
all dick is trash.
All dick is trash. All dick is trash.
Oh, my.
But I'm like, this is so much better than Love is Blind.
Yeah. I mean, that is better than Love is Blind.
And then she's like, so when was, you've been texting her? And he's like, yeah, well, we were talking about you. And then she calls her friend. She's like, it wasn't just about you. You know, it was kind of like, and then she was like, when was the last time you talked? You know, the stories weren't lining up.
That's wild.
I know.
Is there anything about them getting like prenups or like, are they actually legally married?
They're legally married. I don't think, and they do talk about income because like sometimes the women will make more money than the men. And like, it's crazy too because like this one couple, like, you know, the girl was like really like a boss ass bitch and she makes a lot of money. But then when they're like, okay, let's talk about like dividing up the bills, she's like, well, the man has to pay more. Like, I keep my money in, but your money goes to the house. And then he's like, what? Like, I'll help. You know what I mean? And then she's like, no. Like, so it's just, like, crazy to see that kind
of
stuff.
Well, one of my favorite Love is Blind moments is when Jessica, the 34-year-old successful woman, goes over to Mark, the 24-year-old fitness instructor's house. And she's just looking around. And it's like, it's a 24-year-old man's house. He has a brown bed. And she, at one point, she's like, wow, you have a lot of video game consoles. it's like, he's 24.
Yeah. Oh my. But also, too, it's Atlanta. So they're like, I live in a small apartment. It's like a 3-bedroom house to themselves. It's like a gorgeous mountainous like region. I'm like, what the fuck?
I know.
Okay. Well, anyway, Elise.
Yes.
This is the All Dick is Trash podcast.
Indeed.
I want to hear, do you think all dick is trash? You don't have to say yes. But I will beat your ass. I'm kidding.
I think that a lot of dick is trash, but I am currently engaged to someone whose dick I would say is not trash.
And it doesn't have to, it's not like really the yes. dick, but it's like.
No, I know. Yeah, like, yeah. like I would say that my fiance is not trash,
okay.
but that I waded through a lot of trash.
Yes.
To find said fiance. Yes. And he might be the only instance of not trash in my many monogamous relationships.
All right. I mean, yeah, you wade through a lot. And also he's a little older too. So I feel like if had you met him years before,
he would have been trash 100%. Oh my God. Yeah. When I hear stories about his, like his life in his 20s, I'm like, I'm very glad I met you in your mid 30s. Yeah. Like,
you met him in mid 30s, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of times they're trash. I mean, not, you know, so again, not all dick, mm-hmm. but like most of it, and a lot of it just needs time to cook. Like, that's what you say, you need time to cook.
Yes.
You need to like marinate out and like chill out, you know, and then when they get older, they like
start yes, having hopefully. Sense. There so, are others.
Not all the time. Yeah.
Because exactly. He's not the first older guy I've dated, and that dick was trash too.
Yeah. So,
some of the trashiest dick actually that I encountered was older, but this one, no.
So why don't you tell me about the most trash experience you've had, trash dick experience, and it doesn't have to necessarily be sexual. It could be like mm-hmm. any like shitty experience you had maybe with the guy.
Okay. One of my favorite like bad date experiences, because I'm kind of pulled in two directions. One is like a very long, shitty relationship that I was in where like we were constantly breaking up and getting back together, and like just all the traditional fuckboy behavior was experienced. But I went on, when I first moved to the city, I went on an OkCupid date because yes. Tinder wasn't even yes. like a we thing. Weren't even swiping yet.
Yeah.
So I go on this OkCupid date with a guy. I get to the date. Okay. He has a lazy eye. That's fine, but it's not really what I was looking for at that time. And also, you can't really tell that from the picture. So I was alarmed.
Yeah.
I was okay. like, okay, whatever. But I'm going to continue the date. I'm not going to like get up and be like, be gone, you.
Yeah.
So we go on the date. And this guy, I can just, he has the air of like a guy who just thinks he's like the smartest person in the world. And we're talking, whatever. The conversation's very, it's a lot of him trying to describe to me all of his classes and how smart he is and how he's getting a master's and stuff. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And at one point in the conversation, I referenced The Great Gatsby because like that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio was out. And made a reference to that film. And he goes, oh, you've read Fitzgerald?
Yes, I went to high school in the United
Truly,
States.
Truly, I was like, yeah, I passed the 11th grade, my dude. Like, yeah, I'm familiar with Fitzgerald.
Yeah, oh my God.
So I immediately was like, okay. But more than the lazy eye, I was like, I should actually get up and leave the date at this moment. But I continued because I'm 23 and I don't know how to advocate for myself. Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? I don't know how to be like, absolutely not, and just leave. So I stay, and then at the end of the date, I'm like, okay, I have to get away from him as quickly as possible because he's definitely going to try to kiss me. So I start doing the, like, no kiss body language. So we have,
what's
like,
what's a no kiss body language? I mean, we can't, like, the listeners can't see it.
Just, but like, tensed up, trying to keep, like, a 1 foot perimeter, moving my face rapidly around. It's not in one place for long enough for him to get in. So we have the worst hug ever, and I, like, because I'm, like, trying to stay as far away from him during the hug so he can't, like, sneak one in.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, bye. And he goes, hey. And pats me on the shoulder, and he goes, lazy eye man. I don't usually call people after these things, but I'm going to call you.
Oh, my God.
Was he wearing a fedora while he was saying this?
That's an excellent question. Not surprisingly not wearing a fedora, but full fedora energy.
No, that is
absolute
that is
fedora 100 energy.
Fedora energy, 100%.
And I blocked his number immediately. I don't know if he texted me back or not, but I was like, that was horrible.
That's horrible. So funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then I also just had a guy one time who pouted so hard about having to put a condom on that I made him go home.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It was raining and I was like, actually, you can leave. Because at that point I was 27 and I was advocating for myself. Yeah, so I was like, actually, you can home. Be out.
Yeah. Gosh. Like, yeah.
Pouting. Sad. A sad face. And I'm like looking at him and I'm looking at his dick and I'm just like,
just go it's home.
Not, yeah, go home, actually.
Yeah, you're probably not even going to make me come. Like, yeah. It's totally fine.
He was also one of those guys, and this is like an epidemic that I want to speak to on the podcast. But
it's important. Yeah.
I'm someone who, like, getting eaten out is something that I do kind of later in the relationship because I feel like a lot of guys don't do it right. I end up getting bored. It kind of I need to be at a later stage in my relationship for that to come into play because that is what I've found works for me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times in a first hookup, a guy's like, I want to do this. And I'm like, actually, let's skip it for now because, again, I'm advocating for myself. Mm-hmm. I know what the fuck I want. And there's a moment. It's basically a test that I put out to every hookup guy. If he either hears that and accepts that and we can go on to have all the fun sex that we were going to have, or if I can see like proverbial like sunglasses descending from the sky and him just being like, game on. I'm going to be the one who makes you like it. And like they can't accept that. Wow. I'm just like, I don't want you to do it right now. If we are successful, then we can do it later.
So just anyone who's like interested in me, like that is not my problem. If you're listening to this and you're interested, that is never my, no, for me, I'm okay skipping it. It's just like, it's this whole thing of like I'm okay skipping it with a new hookup. Mm-hmm. But then don't ask me
to do it to you.
But yeah. If you want it, then you got to do it.
Yeah. Oh, but, I agree with that 100%.
But skipping it is fine. It's not as fun for me, you know?
For me, it's just like, I have I'm one of these girls who has like a very particular set of things that need to happen.
Yeah.
And in a first hookup, I'm just not going to be able to do the coaching with you. I need to get to know you. Yeah, we need to have like a fun time without me having to be like, okay, rotate 45 degrees.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I'm not going to go, I can't go through this with you.
Yeah, that's fair.
So believe me when I tell you that we will have a great time and we can actually skip this aspect.
Yeah. No, I get it. So skipping it, skipping it's fine, but then please, like, do not ask me.
Believe me, it'll come into play later.
Yeah.
Like, we're in a different place and I'm like, okay, now I know that you can, I know you know how to receive instructions. Let's add this. And then it's kind of fun.
Slide to the left. Crisscross.
Everybody clap your hands. and then it's kind of fun because it's like we've been doing all this other stuff and I'm like, now let's add in this new thing. And it kind of like, I don't know, it keeps the thing spicy and fresh for a while. Because I keep it spicy and fresh.
Okay, so you put a pepper in your vagina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I insert a pepper.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all that Harry Potter that you're listening to.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
So what are some red flags you've chosen to ignore in the past?
Okay, well, I have ignored that red flag that I just laid out, and I would just let them go and then be like, oh, my God, amazing. I loved that.
I love that, when you don't respect me.
I love when you don't. I find it a red flag when a guy immediately is like, also, I'm bad at texting. Like, I'm not going to hit you back ever, and I'm not going to answer my phone. And, like, you have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know? Because I do get that there are people who are bad at texting, but what I have found is that the people who are genuinely bad at texting but also want to make an effort with you will just make an effort with you.
Yeah, they'll just text you, like, 2 days later or something.
Yeah, and, like, you know, whatever. Danny, my fiance, was not great at texting because when we started dating, he had a flip phone and had to press the number a bunch of times to like to like send one text message.
You guys started dating like what, 3 years ago? Four years ago?
Oh, there's no reason for him to have had such to have had it's the fun that he had.
I don't want the listeners to think you met him in 2007.
No, no. This was it ended up causing a problem where there was a day early on where his phone just stopped sending or receiving text messages, and both of us thought the other one was ghosting.
Oh my god.
Because I was texting him and being like, "Oh my god, Dan, he just disappeared out of nowhere. He was supposed to come over. He didn't show up and has not answered me for 24 hours. Like, I can't believe this is happening."
Yeah.
And he thought I was doing the same because his flip phone was no longer sending or receiving messages. So that is a problem. But I have found that people who like preliminarily are like, "Oh, by the way, like, I don't fuck with my phone and like, I'm not good at texting." What they actually mean is like, don't expect anything from me.
Yeah.
Don't expect respect from me or for me to like answer you. And I'm going to
like consider you at all.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to play games with you, because I have a friend right now who's dating a dude that has a flip phone situation, but he very diligently will like message her whenever he actually is on her phone, and like goes out of his way to make specific plans with her.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Let's hang out on Thursday." And so even though he can't text with her throughout the day, she has the peace of mind to be like, "Okay, but when he does have his phone, he does reach out to me." I think it all depends on how you roll things out too. Like
how is social media of you roll out?
I think it's just, there's a branding issue. You have to think about how you're being perceived. And I feel like when someone comes out super hardcore and is like, "I'm not gonna text you, I'm not looking for anything, don't expect anything of me,"
so it's then
like,
why am I even talking to you?
Right. It's like, okay, so what, like, you're an asshole and I can tell. If someone's like, "Hey, I really enjoyed this date, I usually like to take things slow at the beginning," that's different. You know, that's like some, that's like, it's also, again, the rollout a little bit. Where,
well, also too, me personally, that's something I like grown, I'm like, I don't really like to text like all day. Like, I can chat a little bit, but I'm mostly, you know, and you know, like a check-in, but I'm not gonna be like, "Hey, good morning, blah, 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 what are you doing now, what are you doing now?" That's just not me. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, how are you, how was your day, whatever, okay, let's meet next week," or something like that. Like, it's not even like this whole,
I feel like a lot of those disclaimers too, the subtext is them being like, "So I know you're already in love with me."
And but it's like, totally very not.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I actually was just telling my friends the date was okay.
I know.
And it's like, I was actually just telling my friends that like, it wasn't that great, but oh, sure.
Yeah. This one, I went on a date a few weeks ago, and the guy was just like, you know, not like, he was all right. And I was also, I did like 50 things that day too, so I was like pretty tired. So like, just the energy wasn't there, but I'm like, you know, he was nice, so I'll probably like give him a chance. But I don't know, I don't feel anything with him. But he was just like, he texted me after, he's like, "Hey, I don't feel anything for you. I don't think we have a connection. I think we're more as like friends, whatever. Best of luck with your life. I don't think we should see each other." And I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, if you would have never texted me, like, it's just like, I hate ghosting. I hate when people don't give don't say important things. But at the same time, it's like, there's a certain level of human decency where you could like, I'm like,
and I do feel like, dude, the first date is like a trial, you know? And I do think there's like, you can kind of mutually agree. I don't consider it ghosting if you both mutually agree not to hit each other up after the first date.
It's not ghosting.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you just kind of walked away and were like, whatever, and you don't hit him up, there's really no reason for him to hit you up and be like, "Hey, here are all the reasons why I don't go on a second date." It's like, just wait and see if they text you and then say you don't want to go on a second date if that's the case. But I just feel like people, like, the first date should really be this very low pressure, chill thing.
Yeah.
And if neither of you end up contacting the other one afterward, cool. You were both on the same page. It was whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But like, some, I don't know. People, I think that, I don't know. Maybe it went on this way before online dating, but I do feel like people think they need to like get out in front of so much when it's just one date. It's like, chill out.
Yeah. Everyone's just trying to avoid getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And hurting people, or like, or having tough situations, but that's just part of life. Like,
yeah.
And the more you try to get out in front, you look like an asshole.
Right. Like, dating means you're going to end up in awkward situations. You might have to have some weird conversations you wouldn't normally have. Like, that's just part of it. Yeah. You know? And it's like, you can't preempt that by just being like fucking insane at the start of the relationship.
Yeah. And that's so many people.
Yes. You
know? Those are red flags. Mm-hmm. All right. So with, you know, if you don't want to name names or name mm-hmm. venue or whatever, mm-hmm. that's fine. But what has been your most trash experience in comedy?
Oh, my most trash experience in comedy. And does it have to be dating related or just?
No. Like the venue. Yeah. I mean, you know, like.
Or then I know 100%. Absolutely. I can't even wait to get into it. So my show, The Roast of Your Teenage Self, uh-huh. which I just had to cancel my most recent L.A. date Aww. Because of what's going on. So I think that doing the roast in L.A. is cursed now. But the first time I went to do The Roast of Your 15-Year-Old Self in L.A., I did it at a venue that is well used by people on. I see people hosting shows there all the time and I say, interesting. So this venue. My show requires like a projector setup and all this stuff. So for like a week, I'm trying to get in touch with the venue about ticket sales and the projector setup. And they're literally ghosting me. They're not answering any of my emails. Finally, so I'm not just waiting. I'm like every couple of days I'm emailing them, being like, checking in on this.
Yeah.
Finally, the day before the show.
Oh my God.
This someone who works at the venue is like, hey, I received all of your emails. And I'm like, cool. Thanks. Yeah. Tells me stuff about the projector where I'm like, okay, great. It would have been great to know this. They didn't have like cords to set it up or whatever. So I had to like run to Best Buy in LA and like try to get the right cords and stuff because the information that I was asking them for that I needed, I didn't get until the day of the show. Then I had been checking on ticket sales and he goes, we're sold out. And I'm like, oh my God, amazing. I get so excited. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, because you're in LA. I'm in LA.
I know. I don't live in LA. It's hard to sell out a show on the West Coast where I'm like, when I'm in New York, I have all of these press contacts I know about to like get my show written up and stuff. So I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I post on Instagram that the show is sold out. And I get some messages that are like, oh man, we were going to come, but like it's sold out. And I was like, yeah, there might be some tickets at the door, but who knows, whatever. I don't really know. I post everywhere that it's sold out. Right. I get to the venue and I see, I'm like, it's, I check in and I'm like, it's so awesome. The show is sold out. And they're like, what? And I'm like, the show is sold out. You guys emailed me this morning to say the show is sold out. And they're like, oh no, that's actually Kate Berlant's show that's right before you.
Bitch.
And I'm just like, what? And they're like, yeah, it's not sold out. Now we're 20 minutes before the show. And I'm like, so how many tickets did he sell? And they're like, 10.
Oh, my God.
And I had turned all of these fucking people away. Now I was getting all these messages from people who wanted to come who didn't think that they could fucking come. So now I'm frantically trying to message them and be like, actually, you can come.
And we ended up 20 minutes in LA, too. Yeah, so it's like,
they're not going to come. The same. And it's 10 p.m. So like, they're not going to come. So we ended up, luckily some people did come to the door, so we ended up with like probably a half full show, but I didn't make the money that I would have made if it was fucking sold out.
Yeah.
And I looked really stupid because I had posted, I mean, I didn't like update the social media, I just took down the post that said it was sold out, but I looked stupid to like these performers that I invited, and I was like, by the way, the show sold out, and then I had to be like, actually, the venue lied, and it wasn't, but it's still gonna be a fun show, and I just felt like, it made me feel insane.
Yeah.
So we were not gonna do it there again. But now the show is canceled because of coronavirus, so truly a curse upon the LA roast at this point. That was the thing where I, like, I feel like for the most part I don't have any, like, grudges, but that venue, I will never fuck with that venue ever again.
That does suck, and, like, venues in general, like, people who rent venues are crazy, or they don't answer you, whatever, but, like, there has something about, like, an LA venue that, like, scares me so much, like, that kind of, like, whatever attitude, like laid back, chill
LA
attitude.
Answer I've ever heard. Yeah. Like, that's not you.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just like, what? Especially after not answering any of my emails and then like taking a snarky tone with me in the response email.
Yeah, it's like in New York, you have to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you check in until they say something.
Right.
And that's like.
And also, you know? I'm asking this question because it's actually a vital part of the show.
Yeah, you're not
the show,
being annoying.
The show cannot go on if the projector doesn't work because the whole show is people showing pictures of themselves at 15. So yeah. If you can't tell me what your projector setup is, we cannot do the show.
Yeah.
So it was just, I was like, fuck them forever, man.
Damn.
Yeah, that was the worst. That's oh, and then I will say my other trash experience in comedy is that I was cut out of the last episode of Broad City, which I did not find out until I watched the episode with my mom and my sister.
Oh, my God. And I remember you had to sign up for SAG for that.
I did have to sign up for SAG for that. So I had to take out a loan for $3,000. So I made negative $2,500 on that job.
Yeah. So you made negative $2,500 on that job. And you didn't even come up on. So can you say you were on Broad City if they cut out your piece?
You're technically not supposed to put it on anything because like you can't prove it. And then also that episode featured all of these cool up and coming comedians. Yeah. And the whole next day I watched all these people be like, oh, my God, it was so cool to see this person on Broad City, knowing that I had like shot an entire scene with Abby and Alana where I had lines and did all this stuff. And it was not in it. And I was just like, so I got to like watch the praise I could have gotten rolling on social media while also trying to like explain to my mom and sister that like, oh yeah, this happens. So now I don't tell people shit about what I've filmed or booked or anything. I don't say a goddamn thing about it until I see it.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. And that was right after I had booked a part on High Maintenance where the shot they used of my one line was of the back of my head.
Oh, wait, that's me. That's the back of my head.
Yeah. It's like, I was like, I was ready to watch that and be like, oh, it'll be funny. I'll get the one screenshot of my face and be like, it was fun to say a line on High Maintenance. No, bitch. No.
That's so funny. I think you should still post it. Like,
one day, maybe I will be like, I didn't say this, but here's a shot of the back of my head. And you can kind of see that it's my hair.
I think you should. I say fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I got my period in my costume on that shoot.
What was your costume?
White overalls.
No. That's how they're like, they didn't even, get this period bitch out of here.
They were like, she got her period on her costume. We're using the back of her head.
Oh, my God.
Idiot.
Damn.
Yeah. And honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, all three of those things happened within like 6 months of each other. Yeah. So that was a low, I would say a low time for at least.
The roast.
High maintenance. And then the roast. High maintenance happened. Then the roast thing happened. And then Broad City happened. It was like all 3 months apart, kind of. So in a 9 month period, it was like literally just like getting punched from nowhere.
I've gotten so many gut punches, even this week, that I'm like, fuck.
I know.
Comedy sucks.
It sucks so much because it's like all three of those things were like, even when you succeed, they can fucking take it from you. Like, you don't have shit.
Anything,
until you see it come out, until it's done and the money is in your hand, you don't have anything.
Anything. And like, honestly, like, you know, people ask or people say, oh my God, you're doing so. And it's just like, dude, these gut punches, like, and you can't talk, you can't post about them.
No.
You can't talk about it because then you sound bitter. So you just have to, like, keep it inside.
Right?
You know,
it took everything that Broad City Day not to post anything about it. Because I had pictures from set.
Yeah.
I had pictures of the call sheet.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Amy Poehler was there that day. Like, it was a whole crazy thing that I was like, oh, when it comes out, I'll get to, like, post all this cool stuff. And then it didn't come out, so I was like, there's actually no way for me to post it without
looking crazy,
petty and weird.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, I'll just save these photos on my phone and keep it to myself. I really thought that it was going to come out because the part that I had, I was like repping their friends. I was selling them juice, and I was like, all of this stuff was for their friend's juice company. And they kept telling me about like, this is our friend's company. So like, you're repping their company.
In real life?
Yes.
Like, so it was their real life friend's
juice company? It was their real life friend's real life juice company. So I was like, well, they're not going to cut out the scene with their friend's juice company.
They probably didn't get like, but it's probably not you. It's probably like they didn't get the okay.
Yeah, or like whatever. It was going to be part of like a montage where they're running around the city at the beginning of the episode. And so I was just like, I guess it didn't make it in. I know it had been added to the script last minute, so I think that they probably just took it out. Yeah. Like, actually, we don't have room for it. But I thought they were going to keep it because of the Juice Company thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gut punches, mm-hmm. what's your dream project in comedy?
Oh, my dream project in comedy. Or
in life, but dream project.
My dream project would be to, like, write and star in my own show.
Yes.
That's the dream.
What kind of show would it be?
Oh, like a fun ensemble comedy. Mm. That would be my dream. Like a Good Place, Parks and Rec. Like one of those shows where it's like the whole cast seems so fun. Mm. And I really love those, like, I mean, she's coming out with a new show now, but like the old school Tina Fey scripts where it's just like joke, 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 joke,
yeah,
joke. Like
I every love
like
that.
A 30 Rock script where it's like truly that you don't go 30 seconds without a joke and every character gets to be funny and fun. Like I would love that. I'm waiting for the last season of The Good Place to come to Netflix, but I really love The Good Place.
I couldn't get into it, but I guess I got to give it another chance. I will say, yeah, like, I'm wondering, you know, this is just like the analytical side of mm-hmm. me, as like everybody is kind of stepping away from labels, like genderless and like even like relationship labels, like genres are kind of yeah. like blending too. So like there's all these quote unquote comedies, but they're really like so yeah, it'll be like 5 minutes without a joke. And yeah. like, not to say, and I just like, that's kind of an effect I feel like of this cultural shift. And not to say that everything is bad or whatever, but I do miss like, and that's why I really love Tina Fey. It's just like, it's strictly comedy. Yeah. There might be like a heartwarming moment, but mm-hmm. kind of not really. Like,
yeah.
Even Kimmy Schmidt, which like a lot of people have feel some type of way. Kimmy Schmidt was great because it's just like, it was about a traumatic thing, but yeah. it's not about it. It's like joke, 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 joke. Like, I fucking love that.
Yeah. I feel like a show that was able to be like super funny while also doing the heartwarming stuff. Parks and Rec, I think, did a good yeah. job with that. And The Office would do it too.
Yeah.
I was just talking about how I feel like, when was the last like big blockbuster comedy movie that did well that like everyone saw? Because I feel like it was Girls Trip.
Yeah, maybe. That's exactly what I was saying. But I'm like, am I biased because like, you know, I enjoyed it and it was like a black movie? But I feel like Girls Trip was like the last comedy, like kind of ensemble thing.
Yes.
That had a lot of jokes.
That was a comedy.
Yeah, comedy. It had a lot of jokes and it had like heartwarming moments. It was so good.
Girls Trip was amazing. But I really do feel like that was the last time there was a big blockbuster comedy that everyone was like, let's all go see this like big movie studio. It was obviously, I mean, they had such famous people in it. They yeah. filmed like huge scenes at like the Superdome and shit. Like they yeah. obviously, there was money behind this movie. Yeah. It wasn't some like indie,
no,
like, oh, this movie's funny, but it's also like actually about abortion.
No,
and
like, yeah.
and I'm just like, because back in the day when I would go see like Superbad
yeah.
in theaters, like all the Judd Apatow movies were like, I would go see them.
I can't even stand comedy though anymore. Like Girls Trip was great, but like a lot of this shit now I'm like, ugh, I can't.
I feel like it's in a transitional weird place right now. Like I don't think the world has figured out how to make a mass market big blockbuster comedy anymore, because the comedy world is split.
Yeah.
On what comedy even is. You know, like there's so much infighting in the comedy world about like what is and isn't
and politically
funny,
correct and all that shit. Which is lame, like
I know, but I think that people, well, even like the fucking guy who made The Hangover, who then made Joker, was like, I can't make The Hangover anymore because of PC culture or whatever. And it's like,
you can't do comedy if yeah. if you can't be funny without being racist or sexist,
yeah,
then you're not funny.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like this infighting of the comedy world is why we haven't had like a big blockbuster comedy in a really long time, because no one can agree on like what an audience is actually looking for. They keep trying. I feel like they tried with Blockers to do it.
Yeah.
Which was actually funny. I haven't watched Blockers yet. I thought Blockers was funny, but I think it suffered from the name. I feel like people yeah. were just like, whatever.
Yeah, and like the name and John Cena, everyone's like, oh, this is, you know, I really liked Booksmart.
Booksmart was great, but I feel like it has that anything, indie energy, and it was indie, too. Yeah,
it and was then, her first movie.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
And then like it was not marketed like what you saw and then what the movie was, like, was not marketed the
yeah.
same.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could have been a Superbad potentially. Yeah.
They wanted it Superbad. They had his little sister.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has a female Superbad energy to it. Yeah. Like them trying to go to a party and all that. Like there's a lot of like comparisons yeah, to that.
Yeah, for sure.
And some really funny scenes and stuff. Like,
oh, when they were on drugs, I thought that was the funniest.
And when she starts
thing.
Playing the porn in the car. Oh, and God. It's like.
It is like Superbad American Pie. And like, it's just like, yeah, like we don't get to see female, you know, women.
I know.
Like talk about whatever.
I know. I feel like there's probably an element to it that's like, we don't know how to make the big blockbuster comedy while also including women and people of color. Like we don't yeah. like Hollywood doesn't know how to do it. Yeah. And they're not going to. Any movie that would have that, which is where the excitement would be, like they're not going to give the money to
and
it.
And then that's why it has to be indie.
Exactly.
And then that's why these indie things underperform.
Millie, we solved it.
We did.
Millie, we figured out what
so
the issue
just
is.
Cast me in the next thing. Yeah. And yeah.
And me, my last name is Morales. It'll look great on your little rundown. People won't realize kind of what the actual situation is here. So,
how do you feel about the girl, the Knives Out girl? Alma mm-hmm. Armas.
I thought Knives Out was good.
Yeah, and no, because she talked about because she's Cuban, but she's straight from Cuba.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I'm usually making my business to know who's Cuban.
That's what I'm saying. She did a really good NPR thing about like how she really wants to talk about Cuban artists.
That's
and,
awesome.
Like, all this stuff and like she didn't even really want to like. Come to America, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's like really interesting to
that
see.
Is really interesting because so I went to Cuba last
yeah,
year
with Cuba One,
which was amazing. And if you're listening and you're Cuban, look into Cuba One because they do like basically birthright trips for Cuban people to go and yeah. they make them actually really thoughtful and cool, and you meet like actual real Cubans who will tell you what's going on in that country. But there is so much art and so much creativity. And
I wonder if that's because people, I mean, honestly, like, I wonder if that's because people don't have to worry about healthcare or.
I think there's an element to it. I mean, I think there's also an element to it where people are like, kind of like, I think there's a good element to it where it's like, yeah, they don't have to worry about healthcare. And there is like, there's like a basic level that's provided for. But also I do think that sometimes people are finding themselves with nothing to do yeah. and like there's like a restlessness
yeah.
That I think a lot of people feel. Cause I did meet a lot of people who were like, I actually just want to start my business. And like, yeah. I would like to, like, we met with like a group of women who were like female Cuban entrepreneurs, which is yeah. really interesting. And a lot of them are just trying to start like a gym
yeah.
or a yoga studio. And they're like, I really wish that I could have this in my life as like, a purposeful thing for me to do. So it was interesting.
And they couldn't because of communism?
Because I mean it's a mixture of regulations from their government and ours. It's like they kind of get double fucked by a lot of what's going on. Like it's not really more like as much as it's our fault, it's the fault of what's going on with their government too. So it's not like a one-to-one.
But
so,
like why what would our government do? So, then we'll get to lighten up.
So we met like these women who, if you're ever in Cuba for some reason, they have a boutique called Dador Havana, which is like a really cute boutique. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of just talking about how it's like they're technically supposed to buy all of their thread and materials and all that stuff from the Cuban government.
Okay.
So sometimes they'll go to the government and the government will just be like, we have no red thread.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, but we need red.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we don't have it and we can't get it to you. So then they have to go through this rigmarole of like trying to sneak red thread in from the United States. Mm-hmm. Not that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Government.
Yeah.
But potentially that's what they would have to do. And then once, let's say they finally get red thread, they access red thread somehow, someone brings it in for them, they're able to bring whatever. They're able to actually get the red thread together. Then the U.S. government will not let them sell their stuff outside of Havana. So one of them makes these really cool fanny packs that I got that are like really awesome and have like a pocket for your phone and they have a cool design. And she tried to get a Canadian friend to sell them for her on mm-hmm. Etsy. But because they said hecho in Havana, like on the bottom, like made in Havana, Etsy shut the whole store down. So it's just like they to get the materials, the Cuban government stands in their way mm-hmm. in like a really intense way. And then once they actually are able to find a way to like save up and get the materials, the US government stands in the way of ever getting their products out. So it's like they're double. Like,
yeah.
They're it's like so truly they're the people who suffer from like both ends. And it just sucks.
Well, blue no matter who. Okay, so let's do the lightning round.
Yes.
So I'm going to just say a few things and then you're going to say if it's trash or not.
Okay.
And yeah, lightning round. And then, you know, when we finish, if you have any strong opinions about anything, mm-hmm. you can let me know.
Okay.
So trash or not, Bushwick.
Nah.
Adam's Family Values.
Nah.
European travel ban.
Trash.
Sleep paralysis.
Trash.
Wedding planning.
Trash.
Jersey. The faces. The faces.
Trash, but like in a good, like a trash that I like.
Like, yeah, okay. Miles the Monster. I don't know this.
I didn't know if you would know it either. It's something from Delaware. I just got something.
Okay. I don't know. There was a guy named Music Mike. Are we talking about Music Mike?
Okay.
Yes, we're talking about, what about Music Mike.
Okay, what about Slytherin?
No. Slytherin, trash.
What house are you?
Gryffindor.
Okay. I feel like I'm Gryffindor.
I think you are.
Thank you.
I think that you're like, I would say that you're brave, number one, mm-hmm. in your like comedy and everything. But also, I feel like part of being Gryffindor is being like gregarious and sociable and like fun.
Okay, because I got like a Ravenclaw, I think once, or Hufflepuff.
I don't agree with any of the tests.
Okay, good. But then I was like, then I saw that like Gryffindor are cops, and then I was like, oh, you know what?
That is false. That is false. Fucking Slytherin are the cops.
Well, they're the fascists.
Yeah.
But I don't, yeah.
I would say like Gryffindor are like detectives who actually fight like real crimes that we do in society want to
yeah.
be fought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Slytherin are the ones who are like picking yeah. up kids for weed.
Okay. Like, all right. No bias there. Okay. So just to wrap this up, redeeming wholesome wrap up, mm-hmm. name one fond, happy memory that restored your faith in humanity.
One fond, happy memory that restored my faith in humanity. When me and my fiance mm-hmm. first started dating, mm-hmm. one time we were having like a little, we were on a walk and he referred to this other woman comedian as like, he was like, she's the best female comedian in the game. And I offhandedly was kind of like, well, you don't have to say female. You can just say that you think she's really funny. Like you don't have to like qualify it mm-hmm. or whatever. And then we walked a couple more blocks. It was like an offhanded comment I had made to kind of just be like, actually, but like, yeah. you know, it didn't become a real discussion. And then we walked a couple blocks and he stopped me and was like, hey, I've been actually thinking about what you said a couple blocks ago. And I realized that that is right. And I do think that she's actually just really funny, regardless of gender. And I'm going to think about that. And that was when I knew that he was a good one.
Well, there we go. Mm-hmm.
A sweet boy.
Sweet, sweet boy. Love is real, supposedly. I'm rolling my eyes. I don't believe it. I'm calling the cops. I'm calling Gryffindor. I'm calling the good.
This assessment.
I'm calling the police. Well, Elise, thank you so much for coming on to
thank
the All Dick is Trash podcast. Please follow Elise at Elise Navidad. I love that name so much.
I wish I could get it on Insta, but they won't give it. There's a person with an actual active account who has it on Insta.
somebody used Millie Tamara's on Insta, and I tried to report it, and like I tried to use that as leverage to get like me verified, mm-hmm. but it didn't work. And the fake account has 70 followers. They used my real headshot.
That's too. Crazy.
I know.
You should be able to get verified. That's the whole reason. Okay. Yeah. You know what? Well, verification, we can. That's a whole other podcast topic.
And or at Pandalise on IG. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Oh, that was fun. We got into so many topics.
I know. I'm like, damn, this whole podcast is about Harry Potter.
And The Bachelor.
Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Haro, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.